Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kirvin.
And I'm Josh Curry. And boy, do we have a show for you. Oh, hey, and my daughter has noticed that the cookies are done, and therefore she's excited. That's right, my daughter already knows the oven sound for when cookies are done. We've got a show for you, because we've been gone for a couple weeks. There are just, you know, all kinds of stuff. Family stuff, we're insane stuff, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's just, but we're back and we've got a lot to cover. Some stuff that we would have covered, we're not going to because we don't want to have a four-hour show. The first thing we're going to cover is that we're doing for recording the show, or I'm doing on my end. I have purchased a Bluetooth headset, and we're doing something of an experiment tonight to see how that works, because I am completely wireless right now. I could walk around the house, I could go to the bathroom, be recording the show, and you guys would never know, because it's not a smellophone. And let's all be thankful for that. I could talk about the whole process, but let's just say XP isn't very Bluetooth friendly. And Jeff's still trying to make his headset work with his computer. Bluetooth is still an emerging technology.
It's just that XP doesn't support the headset profile out of the box, so you have to do extra things.
Like, okay. I guess that was a no. All right.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said like the hokey pokey?
Oh, no.
Anyway, all right, let's get into our news topics. We have to say goodbye to mobile ESPN. And raise your hand if you're surprised. I don't see any
hands
up over here.
Raise my hand if I'm sure.
Only if you actually use deodorant, which Woo-hoo! Is a matter of some debate. Was that my loud voice again?
Not the deodorant part that people wonder about. It's the antiperspirant.
Oh, well, that's true. I've seen. And, boy, if I... Ooh. I'm just saying. You got some sweat glands. Like, you have, like, extra sweat glands. I don't understand.
Boy, I dehydrate faster than, Well, crap, my metaphor gland just puckered right out on me.
Apparently it's been swallowed by your sweat gland. Oh, no, I have no metaphor glands! Whatever will I do? Yes, that's right. I said metaphor land, just like Jeff did.
Anyway.
What?
Yes, mobile ESPN is on its way out. Apparently, either people aren't ready to, like, you know, have all kinds of cool sports information on their phone, or ESPN was charging too much, or, nobody cared. I'm going to go with...
I think it was poor execution. Personally, I think it was a lot of poor execution on their part.
I think this is an idea that could have worked, but... I don't know. See, I don't know that it's necessarily poor execution, because I don't know anyone who actually tried it.
I don't either.
I think that's probably part of the reason why it's being scuttled.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that's part of the reason.
The bigger question here is, what does this mean for rich content for cell phones? Does this mean that, you know, we aren't interested in smartphones as a society, or that we're just not ready yet, or...
I think it's all about the execution. I think cell phones are finally getting to a place where they're usable for this kind of, you know, experiment and this kind of technology, this kind of content. I think that was part of the problem. Is it was a little early. First of all, it was a little early coming to the market, and the technology didn't really feel like it was there. I was never all that impressed. You know what I mean?
I wonder about whether it was the right genre to start with. On the one hand, you know, sports give you a lot of, you know, up-to-the-minute stuff that, you know, would seem like a good fit for mobile. But when it comes to actually watching, you know, the highlights and stuff, sports are one of the things that people watch on TV that really take advantage of large televisions. If you're watching the news, it doesn't really matter how big or how small the talking heads are. But if you're watching a clip of a football game, it kind of matters that you can tell the difference between the 50-yard line and the goal line. And I think shrinking that down to a phone-sized screen just wasn't a good fit. I think that news and entertainment is probably a better fit for cell phones. I think, you know, being able to get, you know, your latest celebrity gossip fix on a cell phone is probably a better fit than sports.
Oh, I definitely have to agree. I think one of the things is, I think it's, how am I trying to put this? I think it's okay for limited things. Like, I don't think it's a problem with me speaking. I don't think it's a problem so much with sports in general. I think that there are very limited situations where it works. If you're showing one guy in the end zone, that's great. But that's really the big problem. It's not an across the board kind of thing. You know what I mean? In sports, it's very hit or miss. Some things it's great for, other things it's horrible for. There's really no purpose. So,
I think this is like some of our other topics for this evening. I think this is something that seemed like a good idea at the time, but as it turns out, not so much.
Yeah, I think they're just behind the curve. Or ahead of the curve in some ways and wrong content. If they did it, I mean, seeing the highlights isn't a problem. Delivering the news portion of it wouldn't be bad. Delivering the news portion of it wouldn't be bad, but...
Imagine watching even part of a hockey game on a 2-inch screen. I mean, I know people that can't find the puck on a full-size TV.
No, the real thing is, I think that it's great for some highlights, but hockey, I can think of no good hockey highlights you can really watch. I can think of a couple of football highlights, you know, a great catch or a great interception because it's maybe two guys on the screen, and, you know, not a whole lot of motion because you don't show the run back. Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
That's a first.
Yeah, you're right. That's definitely a first. Anyway, moving right along. This is really kind of a start living in the future, which I'm seeing more and more these days. There's a bionic woman now. She has a fully bionic arm. Now it's not doesn't look like a real arm. It works pretty much like a real arm, but it's got a big back thing that you put on, it really is a bionic arm. It just responds to her thoughts. It just works. We talked about the bionic arm a while back as it related to men, but this is the first woman to receive it. And so that's pretty neat technology. What do you think about it, Jeff?
First off, the woman who got this looks nothing at all like Lindsay Wagner.
No, that's true.
Probably a marketing misstep. I think this is awesome. Yes, we need to shrink the technology down somewhat so that it's, you know, self-contained and kind of arm, but just the fact that, you know, robotics and cybernetics are getting so advanced now that you can do something like a robotic arm and the way this works is they've rewired the nerves in her chest muscle, you know, adjacent to the arm, and tied wires into those so that, you know, when she instead of sending nerve impulses to the arm, she sends it to that half of her chest, and the bionic arm interprets them as they were originally intended. I think it's just awesome that we've got full-powered, you know, bionics now. I mean, yeah, she can't crush a tennis ball in her hand or anything. But
yet.
It's... yet. But, this is good news for, I don't know, the 10,000 or so people coming back from Iraq without limbs.
Yeah, everyone. Well, now, here's the real impressive part. The robotic part of it's not impressive. The fact that it's just, she thinks it does it. Okay?
Yeah.
It's not...
Yeah, it's the cybernetic interface that really sells it.
I know. Like you said, she can't crush a tennis ball, but you know what? That's easy to do. Honestly, a robotic arm that size that can crush a tennis ball ain't all that difficult. Now, you know, and as they're scaling it down, at this point, they don't want it to be more powerful because, as far as I know, I don't think they have that kind of tactile, you know.
If you
could crush a tennis ball, would she always crush a tennis ball?
Yeah, she can control the arm, but so far she doesn't get any tactile response. So it's like you using your arm when your arm is asleep. Yeah, you can move it, but because you don't have any nerves telling you when you've touched something, it's just still kind of clumsy.
Yeah, sometimes I curse tennis balls when my arm's asleep.
I don't think you do.
I think I do.
Maybe by sitting.
Maybe I juggle them. I juggle tennis balls when my arm's asleep, but that's cool enough. Crush, juggle. They both have a U.
Anyway.
Okay. Now we're going to move into, I want to talk a little bit more about computer technology. We've got a lot of computer and computer-related technologies. At least I'm calling them computer-related. Jeff may slap me, but I'm going to consider these all computing and mobile computing-related technologies we're going to talk about tonight, most of them. Toshiba has a really nifty ebook. It's a dual-screen ebook. Basically, it's the Nintendo DS of ebooks. Jeff isn't going to chime in at all on an ebook?
I like the idea of the Toshiba dual screen, but I still think it's kind of big and clunky.
Well, dual screen with the size people are wanting ebooks and what they're going for with ebooks is definitely going to be, you know, size is definitely going to be a concern with a device like this.
Personally, I still think that dedicated ebooks are, you know, dedicated ebook readers are a goofy idea. I've yet to see one that actually is compelling, but dual screen definitely helps, especially since one of the screens is a touch screen.
It really is the Nintendo DS of ebooks.
It's not a bad idea. It's all going to come down to the software. It's all going to come down to how, you know, what kind of an experience it is. The hardware, yeah, it's shiny and, all glossy and slick.
I think it's just as a just as a technology demo, I don't think this is going anywhere, okay? Let me be clear. This is I think ebooks, dedicated ebook readers have a place. I think they definitely have a place in bringing ebooks into the home if they're ever done right, into more people's homes, and not just, you know, especially with e-paper getting to the point where it's at, and what's, you know, things are really getting to where ebooks can really expand digital content. And it's got a lot of opportunities down the road. This ain't it. This ain't doing anything. I mean, this is really, really, it's a dual screen tablet. I mean, more than anything, because there's some usefulness here, but I just think it's kind of a neat concept, and I think it's at least interesting that people are doing different things with them, and, you know, and that's my main interest in it. I think you're definitely right on this one, that this isn't going to do anything for ebooks. The only thing that's interesting about it is the dual screen. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah. Now, speaking of ebooks, Amazon is also getting ready to release a standalone dedicated ebook reader. I'm even less impressed with this than I was with the Toshiba one. This looks like just a it's like a redo of the Sony Librea, which I thought. I mean, yeah, coming from Amazon and having Amazon's name behind it, it might be not horribly lame. But what two things concern me about this? One is, I still think that dedicated ebook readers are clunky.
Yeah, that's always going to be a downside from you. But yeah.
That's always going to be a downside to me. The other thing is DRM. Even Amazon is going to have a somewhat difficult time pushing books that you can't do the same things you can with paper. Now, admittedly, ebooks come with a different set of pros and a different set of cons than paper books. You know, they have limitations paper books don't have, but they also have capabilities that paper books don't have, like instant lookup. I look up far. You know, when I grew up, and this probably says a lot about me, or explains a lot about me. I almost never picked up and opened a dictionary. I had a pretty big vocabulary for a kid, but I learned everything by context. Never bothered to look anything up. Now, when I'm reading, I'm reading a thriller in e-reader on my phone, and if I run across a word that, I know what the word means, or at least I think I know what the word means, but it's an uncommon word, I'll select it and jump straight to Webster's Collegiate Dictionary and actually see, the history and the definition of the word, and not only what it means, but, what it's derived from and how it got put together. And I find that fascinating. Can't do that with paper, unless you just have a dictionary right next to you, and then you can, with an ebook, you can make annotations without altering the book itself. You can read in bed without having a big light on and contorting yourself into some weird posture that's going to give you crazy neck spasms tomorrow. But I don't know if Amazon is going to be able to sell that.
I have some concerns about it, too. The design itself, it looks like it's e-paper, which is, in my opinion, a big positive. I think e-paper is the only thing that will make e-books something regular people are willing to deal with. Because I'm not looking at this from... I'm looking at this from the perspective of people who... the layman. I mean, that's really what the objective here is. And I don't know that this will do it, but it's got some interesting features and some interesting capabilities. capabilities. As for DRM, Amazon, and we'll talk a little bit more about Amazon DRM here in a minute, they traditionally, when they start dealing with it, they're pretty good. I don't know what eBook DRM is like, but I know that their Unboxed DRM is actually far more flexible than I thought it would be. And I definitely like the way it's set up. As far as DRM goes, the bottom line is DRM should stay until all of the companies who have copyrights decide they don't want it. And I'm sorry, as much as people hate DRM, it's here, so we should be looking for the least intrusive versions. DRM just isn't going away, and it's something the world's going to have to deal with. I mean, whether you like it or don't, it's here. But it has EBDO built in. That's one really interesting thing about it. It uses a standard mini USB port. It has a 3.5mm headphone jack, an SD card slot. So it's got some interesting things. Like I said, the design in general, I don't know. I really, no touch screen, so it ends up, scroll wheels and a keyboard, that kind of thing, because it's e-paper, and e-paper is, generally a touch screen. If they do some things right, it could be a good start. I don't know that ebooks in general, you're going to be a breakout item anytime soon. Too many people are just unaware of them or uninterested in them. I think the market is always getting close to saturated, except for with younger people. Very few older people are picking up PDFs these days, at least in my personal experience. And if they do, they're doing it under great duress. It's just kind of I don't know. The future of ebooks is completely up for grabs, especially ebook readers in specific. But I think the EBDO has a lot that it could. That's a big bonus to getting content pretty much wherever you are and all that. So I don't know. What do you know? Hello?
Well, what? I couldn't make out the last thing you said there.
Which last thing? I said things?
Let's move on to Amazon Unbox.
Okay.
Talk about how the
turn what I said, so we're done.
Well, yeah.
Sorry.
Since you mentioned Amazon Unbox and how its DRM is more flexible than I think. Now, I haven't really played around with Amazon Unbox at all. Basic concept
I did,
of it. I don't know anything. So why don't you take this one?
Okay, Amazon Unbox is the iTunes killer for video, at least, or at least that's what Amazon is hoping. It's intended to just really compete, and it came out of the gate with not only television shows, a lot of the television shows, pretty much all the television shows, not all, but close to all the television shows you can get from iTunes. Also, movies. A lot of studios signed up with them, whereas only the Disney studios are signed up on the other side of the pond with Apple. So right now, content-wise, they're winning that war because there are multiple price points. They're willing to do multiple price points and change the price. So they're willing to do below $9.99 and above $14.99. And those are the only two price points Apple's allowing. $9.99 and $14.99, period.
Victoria.
So the studios really wanted more flexibility. They can sell some stuff they're selling for, $8. Some stuff they're selling for $16 or $17. That's I kind of expect that, and that's not a horrible thing. The pricing isn't really bad, pretty much across the board. so far. I mean, but the way it works is there's a you download the and you can basically assign devices online. So you go and you buy, you know, whatever. I bought an episode of South Park was the first thing I bought. One of my favorite, Cartman gets an anal probe. If you've seen that episode, you'll know why. It's just hilarious. Okay?
I thought that was the very first episode of South Park.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is. I can never remember what the... It's been so long, but it is a classic episode and a much-loved episode, so I figured I should own it. And since it was a rebate, I got it for free. So, and I haven't used it. Just yesterday, I downloaded an update for Unbox. Haven't used it since the update, and apparently they fixed some things. They fixed some things, and... Jesus Christ, what's going on? I'm sorry. This is not good.
What's not good?
Nothing. I'm better now. It'll be okay. I'm not going to have to kill people. I promise. But anyway, the way it works is you go online and you buy it online, okay? And this is where the big problem is. You can't buy it through through Unbox itself. It's not a standalone application. You still go to Amazon, log in, and, you know, and that's where you set up your unit, your systems that you have, and you can set up multiple systems, and everything can be downloaded to two computers at this point, and then from there to two mobile devices. Okay, so there's some flexibility there. And for me, I mean, you can't just and I got one computer to the other, so I don't know how that works, and I haven't got a lot of chance to play around with it. When I first got it, there were some bugs, and sometimes you'd have to re-download the movies and stuff. Those are some of the things they fixed. Some of my initial complaints have been fixed already. So that's the thing. But my biggest, you know, price-wise, it works pretty well. It's, you know, decent quality. You know, once you're, you know, you can watch it while you download it. So as you're, you know, as it's, you know, once you get to that point where you're downloading, you know, where you'll have it downloaded before it's over, it lets you start watching it. You know, it's got a lot of the features of iTunes. The biggest problem is the interface, because you do have to go to Amazon.com, to their Unbox store, and you buy it, and schedule it for download and tell it which system you want to download to. And then you go to your system, and it'll automatically download it, you know, Unbox on the background. A lot of this could be fixed just by cleaning up the interface a little and putting a browser in Unbox that, you know, defaults to an Amazon page that's got, you know, but that's my biggest complaint is the interface. Content is good. Pricing isn't bad. $1.99 a show, you know, and actually your first one's free. And because of all their problems, they gave you another one free when they did this update to encourage people to try it again. So it could be an iTunes competitor, especially if the rumor of them working with TiVo to allow you to download directly to your TiVo box is true. That's a rumor that surfaced last week, or early this week, I can't remember. If they can get that going on or before the ITV comes out, that could definitely be a solid thing. What do you think, Jeff? Any general thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still not sure that anybody's got the whole video download thing right, and I'll tell you why. Because most people aren't going to be watching this on their PCs. Yeah, when you download very stuff cool. from the iTunes Music Store, or you download music from Napster or Rhapsody or any of those Place for Sure vendors,
or Napcity, where you sleep a lot in Napcity,
you might ignoring you. You might be able to. I mean, yeah, you're going to listen to it on your PC from time to time, but the ultimate goal is that you're going to transfer this to a MP3 player so that you can listen to these out. Yeah, the PC is just a it's just a way station. It's a it's a place to to get the stuff, to hold the stuff, to distribute the stuff, but it's not in most cases how you're actually going to use the stuff. And with video, that's even more pronounced because, handheld video players haven't really taken off yet. The Zune may be, the first one to really catch on. I don't think very many people actually watch, entire episodes of Lost or even movies on their iPods. People probably just, hey, did you see this cool scene? Yeah, and they'll play, 2 minutes.
Well, video downloads are definitely not where they need to be yet. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, with video downloads, you've got, you got to download it to your PC, but then you've got to figure out how to get it from your PC. And quite frankly, that's beyond most people.
And these services, like
Amazon Unbox, don't help that. If the TiVo thing is true, that helps a lot in getting it that last mile. If the TiVo thing is true, I think this could be, this could be actually a workable system. I'm still concerned about quality. I'm still concerned about. From what I understand, a lot of these things are basically VGA. They're 640 by 480, which is slightly less than the resolution of standard television, much less HD. So I'm not.
In general, downloadable video. Although there are a lot of people buy videos on iTunes. And I'll tell you what, I've really come around to the way of thinking that $1.99 for an episode I missed isn't a big deal, and watching it on my computer isn't so bad, as long as it's only, 45-minute episode without, once you go past the commercials. Without commercials, it's only a 45-minute episode, basically. A little more, a little less, depending, but movies, I think, are a bigger challenge, because I certainly don't want to just have my movies on my computer and have to re-download them if I want to watch them. Something missing. Media Center PCs are kind of on the way there, but I don't think that's the answer either. I think, I don't think I know the answer. To be quite honest, I don't think I know the answer.
I definitely don't know the answer, but I know this ain't it.
Yeah. I'm really looking at it as compared to iTunes, because iTunes is not an unsuccessful video service. I mean, you can talk about how they don't have it right yet, but they have it right enough that people are buying. So, I mean, really, this is not looking at the end all.
And again, it comes back to what are they buying? Yeah, they're buying an episode. They're buying episodes of TV shows.
Movies are just getting started.
I mean, honestly, if I had an iPod and say, Babylon 5 was available from the iTunes Music Store, there are about a dozen different episodes that I would download just to have. Being able to watch Sleeping in Light, the series finale, whenever I wanted, would be, just a cool thing. But I'll tell you, I've had entire episodes. There's an episode of Firefly that I have still never gotten around to watching. I've owned the box set for over a year. I've ripped this episode to my PC, but I've never actually watched it. It's called Heart of Gold. It's the one with the whorehouse. Oh. And I've never actually gotten around to watching it. I carried it around on my pocket PC for a month and never watched more than the first 5 minutes of it. And this is a bigger screen than the iPod has. I don't see people watching video on handhelds as something that they're going to do if there's anything else going on. If you've got podcasts to listen to or a good ebook,
stop you for just a second, because aren't you the guy who argued with me profusely that the future of video is people sitting around in a room with their own little tiny screens watching whatever they wanted? Didn't you argue that with me?
Yeah, as it turns out, not so much.
I wanted to mention that.
Yes, I have watched the entire X-Files Black Oil arc on a trio, but I did that because at the time my television was broken, and I was sick. Yeah, I'd been given a bad batch of flu shots, and I had swelled up, and I looked like Ben Grimm. So, you know, that was something I could do while sitting on the couch and, you know, lying on the couch and suffering without having to move or think too much.
Well, anyway, let's get back to the fact that what you're saying is that you don't think anyone's gotten it right. And where I'm going to disagree is no one's gotten it completely 100% functioning right, but you can buy it and burn it to a DVD. I think that's a really good idea. Not with Unbox, not with any of those. In the first movie, I'm looking up the company right now, but I'll talk about what they're doing. And the problem is it's always been a delay before, you know, the DVD was out, and then you could download it and burn it to your own DVD. And it's not all movies, and it's something they're still working on and something they're still trying to get there. There have been some problems with the technology in general. But the new Fast and the Furious movie that's coming out on DVD will be available for download at the same time as it's available in the stores. And that's a big step. Once you can download it and burn it to a DVD of your own, and re-burn it if you need, once you've got those options and you've got some control there, unless it's just a burn once thing, which I honestly, that I haven't tried because I'm not that enterprising when it comes to this stuff. For the same price, I'd rather go to the store and buy it, personally. Cinema Now is the name of the company. But this burn on demand is kind of an interesting concept. And but that's the closest, I think, to getting it right as there is. What do you think? I mean, about the burn on, about the about Cinema Now and their burn the DVD option.
It's a neat idea, but again, it comes down to, is it worth it? Okay, you buy from Cinema Now, you download it, you have to have a blank DVD, so you've got to buy those on your own.
Yeah.
You burn that, and now you've got a DVD that, you know, you've scrawled on with a magic marker, okay, this is National Treasure. Is considering the cost of the media, the cost of the download, the time it takes to download, the time it takes to burn it to DVD, and then what you're left with, isn't it worth $20 to, you know, get in the car and go down to Target and buy the DVD and actually have like liner notes or have a nice box to put it in and all? I mean, I still don't think...
I don't. Well, I mean, I just think that's the closest to really being able to do it. I mean, in the end,
if you can get it to the point where the download and the media together are less than $5, and you know, movies are still going for $20 at Target, then I think it's worth it. Otherwise, just go buy the frickin'.
Well, really, the bottom line is. The only thing that's getting it down to that is video on demand over your cable box, and I think really, honestly, I think that's the future of the technology, of streaming movies. But I still don't know that they've got, you know, there's still a lot of issues with that, and I still have my doubts and my concerns about that, and we'll just have to see where it goes.
Yeah, downloading video on demand from your cable box has always been very difficult to save permanently. Getting that to a DVD is a real tough.
So, yeah, you're paying less. You generally aren't paying $15. You're paying, let's say, $5. But you get a limited amount of time to watch it most times, actually. Actually, you're paying right then and you're watching it.
Yeah.
Or it's more like a rental than a purchase service. Yeah. Well, no, it's definitely not a purchase. But I think that's probably the future of it because a lot of people... I'm real likely to watch movies over and over and just throw in a DVD. Okay? I have a 7-disc DVD changer for a reason. But in general, most people buy me a DVD, watch it once or twice, and unless it's a movie they really, really like, not so much. So I think it's definitely in a lot. Big business. It's just Netflix is really taking a chunk out of Blockbuster's market share. The online rentals are just so much cheaper, and so a rental model isn't bad. I just don't know. If you can have it streamed directly to your living room, that's there are movies I would get that way. Most of my movies I still want to own on DVD. And I want them to be a tri-layer HD Blu-ray regular DVD. That's what I want. But we'll talk about those later. First, I want to talk about Apple. I got two Apple bits. We want to talk about iTunes 7.0. Been out for a couple weeks. It's their movie downloads. That's what it's about. Okay. There's some other nifty features. It's about movie downloads. I haven't really kept up with it. All I know is there were a whole lot of bugs when it first released. They only have Disney movies. And for now, that's all they're going to have until they can convince the companies that their pricing is the way to go. I don't know. I've become less and less impressed with iTunes all the time. I bought television shows on iTunes, and my daughter is also an impressed.
I don't have iTunes installed anymore. Part of this was that, when I was running Vista, iTunes didn't run very well on Vista Beta 2. So I didn't bother installing it. But, iTunes 7 was clearly rushed out the door. It's buggy, it's crash-prone. And frankly, something that I'm going to be using to spend money, I don't want it to be buggy. I want to make sure that each one of my transactions actually goes through and I get full credit for what I'm purchasing. Apple has just gotten very, very sloppy over the past year.
And very insane with all the lawsuits based on the word pod.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Now, it turns out that they weren't really... They've come out and said, no, we're not trying to stop the use of the term podcast. Well... I don't know. I read some of those lawsuits. It sure sounded like they didn't want them using the word podcast and identifying their company. It's only okay if a user calls their podcast a podcast. And just stop it. You're getting ridiculous. They sued people over anything with pod because they're having trouble trademarking a couple of things. And I know I read a whole article on it, but the bottom line is, Apple is all about protecting their ass, and that's all they ever do. And then they, and it doesn't matter how they fuck over the customer. No matter what Apple user, they are not about the customer in any way, shape, or form. Okay, I think that's all I got to say.
Yeah, Apple is just, I mean, they're, I understand that the way United States trademark law works, if you don't aggressively defend your trademarks, you're in danger of losing them. That's why in every single issue of Writer's Digest, you have, you know, ads from companies letting you know that when you're writing, make sure it's, you know, facial tissue, not Kleenex. Make sure they're inline skates, not rollerblades. Because if those brands fall into public use and become generic terms, then these companies lose control over them. So I can understand that Apple, to a certain extent, by the way the law is written, has to be aggressive about protecting the iPod trademark. But that doesn't make them any less of an asshat.
I'm not using the term iPod. I'm using the term podcast. And you know what? It's too late. If they wanted to stop the term podcast, it's too goddamn late. Because, I mean, Jesus Christ, do they know how many podcasts are out there? And I know they said they are, but I think it was part of the backlash.
The horse is definitely out of the barn.
Yeah, I think it's part of the backlash. They're like, oh, no, we never meant that. Because, frankly, I don't believe it for a second. I think that's exactly what they meant to do. I think they were trying to quash the bug that was the podcast. That was, you know, because, hey, clearly, you know, that's where it got its name. It was, a broadcast for the but it's just ridiculous. I don't know. So that's all our Apple news. I mean, there's, you know, I could have really laid into Apple over some of the stuff they did in the last couple of weeks, but we've done that enough. And
besides, we've got the competition to talk about.
We do have the
Deets. Deets have come out about the Zune now.
All the
official pricing and release dates and all that good stuff.
November 14th. $249.
Which actually does the part that I find interesting about what you've already said, aside from the fact that this is coming out within days of the Wii and
PS3.
What I find interesting about this is that at $250, they're actually selling this at under cost. Microsoft, right out of the gate, is losing money selling Zunes. And
to hit the price point of the iPod 30 gig, the Zune is a 30 gig device, the same price as the iPod 30 gig, but it's got the added benefits of a larger screen and Wi-Fi.
And Bluetooth.
It's got, you know, that's a big trifecta in my opinion. It doesn't have a scroll wheel. It doesn't have, you know, it's not the same. It's its own device. Dear Lord, how dare they be original? It's got a simple interface.
Well, it's not that original. It bears a striking resemblance to the Toshiba Gigabeat.
Yeah, but I dig it.
I've heard conflicting reports that the Zune is a complete Microsoft thing, you know, both designed and manufactured by Microsoft, and I've also heard that it was designed and is manufactured under contract with Microsoft by Toshiba.
I think that's official that it's being manufactured by Toshiba.
Okay.
Design-wise, I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it's official that it's being that it was is manufactured by Toshiba at the very least. I'm pretty sure that was a confirmed non-rumor. So I don't know, I like it. It comes in ship bound.
I still do not understand that.
And
please don't try to come up with something. Yeah, I beg you, don't try to come up with something.
I'm sorry, I think the white one's ugly, personally. I think the white and the brown ones are both butt ugly.
The white one is butt ugly because of the big black ring around the wheel.
People can read all kinds of horribleness into this whole conversation.
The brown Zune is ugly because it's fucking brown, okay?
It's a lot better in person. They'd have to look a different color in person for it to be better.
I don't care how many times people say brown is the new orange. I still think orange is ugly and brown isn't any better.
I like orange, but I like the black one, I gotta say.
The black one looks very slick.
The Zune falls behind the iPod is battery life. But the Zune has two wireless technologies and a larger screen. So I'm gonna have to cut them some slack.
And a kick-ass UI. The user interface on the Zune is so much better than the iPods. It looks slicker, it's easier to get to stuff, it's just... You can use your own pictures as backgrounds for each screen. It is just... Microsoft really got a hit out on that one.
Well, and I'm, you know, and like I said, it's the same price as a 30-gig iPod. I mean, they're really betting a lot on this in the Urge Music Store, or the Zune Music Store.
That's the part that I don't understand, is that the Zune DRM and music format is completely different than Plays For Sure.
Yeah.
So now they're going to have two different competing music stores and formats, and you know, what are you going to do with all the people that already have Plays For Sure devices, people that have Windows Mobile devices? The Zune Store interface is a different application. It doesn't tie into Windows Media Player. You know, I think in the process of trying to make this completely different and separate from everything else, they've lost the opportunity to get to build some real synergies here.
Which is unusual for Microsoft these days. They've been really good about that. We'll just have to see what they do in the long run.
I took a look at another DRM format and decided, okay, I'm just not going to do this. I'm not getting the Zune.
It's only another DRM format if you don't want to use your... But you realize that the Zune will play any MP3 you want to put on there. I mean, yeah, the store's in the DRM format, but how many iTunes songs do you own?
Quite a few, actually.
You buy stuff from iTunes. I know that.
I bought a bunch of stuff from them before I got pissed off at Apple.
I don't buy from the music stores. I just, you know, I tend to buy the DVDs and you know what? As long as it works with my device, I'm not as picky about the DRM as you are. I'm just not. And yeah, there's always going to be, there's always. And frankly, I do like the way the Zune is set up technology-wise. And like I said, it reads, what are all the formats? I'm trying to look up the details. It reads, I think it does...
It reads AAC, MP3, unprotected AAC, unprotected WMA. But if you've got purchased tunes on your computer, you've got to, you've either got to depurchase them. I'm not suggesting that you use something like Fair Use for WM, but,
well, not so
it's out there.
If you already own them, oh, and they're suing over that, but, you know, the reason they're doing it is because there's a lot, Microsoft couldn't care less. But the people who, their customers for Play For Sure are, it's the companies who sell Play For Sure music. That's the bottom line. Microsoft, we're not their customers, it's the people who are selling it to us. We're the customers of the companies who are selling it to us. As far as Microsoft is concerned, people who license Play For Sure from them are their customers, are their immediate customers. They're responding to their concerns. And they're not looking beyond that. Because without them, then, it's a trickle-down effect, and they're just, they're just looking at the middleman instead of the end user. Right, wrong, I'm not saying. I'm just saying that's what they're doing. But Play For Sure, I don't know. Like you said, DRM sucks. But you know what? Right now, it's going to be really hard for people to switch from the iPod because of that. There's a rumor. There's been a rumor out. If it happens, it won't be for free. I would think that it's entirely possible they'll have a point. Well, they'll say they'll buy you out for X amount, and that would be a smart move to make. They come up with a reasonable price for buying you out of iTunes. One that's less than you buying all. Maybe based on the number of. Maybe a tiered pricing based on the number of things you own from iTunes. You know what I mean? I can see that being, if they were just to give it to you for buying a Zune, that would be great. Unfortunately, there's no way they can make money on the Zune if they do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was always a pipe dream. And we all knew it, but it was a nice little pipe dream to have. So what I got to say is I like the Zune. I know the complaints. I know the worries. As far as I'm concerned, if you're worried about the DRM and another DRM being out there, then I'd say that no MP3 player is probably for you then. Because they're always,
Well, yeah, I listen to stuff on my Pocket PC.
Yeah.
Pocket player. And I know how to, know how to liberate my music.
Yeah, but I'm excited about this one. I think it's got some really neat technology. I think the bigger screen is very cool, and I think we're gonna have to buy my wife something better in the next couple months anyway. And it may end up being a Zune. I haven't made my decision. It needs to have at least 12 hours of battery life, which is what the Zune has. The only reason I would go with an Apple would be for better battery life. But, there you go. Now, the other news, and this is what I'm really excited about. We've talked about so much. We've got a little more to go. Actually, we've got a big rant coming at the very end of the show. So people can tune out. I put it at the end because it's going to be a rant. And if people want to tune out early, I completely understand. The Nintendo Wii, that's right, the genre-changing console system, as I'm calling it. I think it'll really change the way console games are played, and I think it'll have an impact. Anyway, I don't know that it's not going to shift the, it's not going to shift the plates of the console universe, but it will definitely have an impact. I'm sure everyone listening knows what the Wii is. The Wii has a release date, a price, and... It will release November 19th. That's right, 5 days after the Zoom. PS3 got details too. No one cares, but November 17th is when it's coming out, and nobody will be buying it. I have less and less respect for the PS3. I'll do a little spiel on it in a little bit, and on some developments with the 360, but frankly, I'm not excited about either of those consoles anymore. The Wii is where it's at as far as I'm concerned. The Wii gets that, you know, the other two consoles are for gamers. The Wii is for everyone. November 19th, $249, one game, one controller in the box. That one game is Wii Sports. What Wii Sports is, across the board, is it's four games, five sports games, four sports games, bowling, baseball, tennis, golf, and there is one other, and I can never remember what it is, so not, but it's some of the best games to just really illustrate how the gameplay works. I'm really excited. It comes with a game, so basically, $200, and you're getting, you know, and you're buying a $50 game. So $250, which is a really good price in my opinion for a console. Now, the one, there are some concerns people have. What we did find out also is it won't play DVDs. They pulled that functionality, at, you know, towards the end of it because of cost. They couldn't keep the cost down and have it play DVDs. And you know what?
Oh, and
most people have a DVD player.
Yeah, and most people have a DVD player, and I think it's interesting that, you know, this shows that Nintendo is continuing to do what they've done for quite some time, which really sets them apart from Microsoft and Sony, and that's that they're not willing to make this a loss leader. They're not buying market share. They're selling consoles. And at $250, Nintendo is making a profit on each console sold.
Yeah.
Which I think just... I think that's great for gamers because it ensures that Nintendo is going to continue to be around and they're not going to drop this because they just can't afford to keep making it anymore.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I don't think it's a bad move at all in any way, shape, or form. I'm really excited about it. And like I said, you know, I'm gonna kind of miss that functionality because I thought it'd be cool to be able to play DVDs. But really, in the end, who cares? I've got a 7-disc DVD changer. Okay, I don't need. You know, although it's really tiny and cool, I don't need it to play DVDs. The Wii is I'm really.
I think
I'm just really excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the sleeper hit of the holiday season. I really.
Well, plus they're getting all the units, like all the units. It's not just a couple units, not a handful of units. There will be all the Wii. Wii all the way home, so to speak.
This will be the first console ever that I'm actually going to buy. I didn't have an Atari 2600. I didn't have ColecoVision. The original PlayStation. Didn't have a Sega Dreamcast. Don't have an Xbox.
I owned just about every console Jeff just missed. just so you can see where we're coming from on this.
Yeah, I have always played games on PCs. From my VIC 20 to my TI-99 to my Amiga to my PCs. I've never bothered with a dedicated console. This will be the first console I purchase.
Huh? Like I said, I'm really excited. There's gonna be units by the end of the year. Wow. I mean, that's just blowing away the number of units that'll be out there for the PS3. So if there is a run on PS3s and a lot of them sell, which I honestly don't know that that's going to happen. I mean, their pre-orders will take care of the initial shipments, and I think
I don't think Sony's got enough shine left on the rose.
But really, you know, we'll only know once we see what really happens. But you'll be able to walk in to a store this Christmas, this holiday season, and buy a Nintendo Wii. Here's how popular it is. Amazon started taking pre-orders as soon as they knew what the price was. And they put it, and they were like, okay, we're taking pre-orders. They shut it down the same day because they got a response they never remotely expected. They don't even know how many units we're getting. We're shutting this down until we know. Because, lots of people are pre-ordering it. There's some downsides to the Wii launch, okay? First of all, let me explain a little bit about what we found out. Now, there are things that are called channels, which, you know, goes with the remote, the Wiimote styling. And those include a lot of, those are all your controls. Those are how you go online. Those are how you, you know, do all your things. You can use channels to buy, you can buy, you know, console games, virtual console games, basically cost between $5 and $10 a piece, you know, $5 for older games, you know. So there's a whole tiered pricing scheme for the Wii console games. It's going to be pretty interesting. SNES, the Super Nintendo games are going to be about $8. N64 games is about $10. So TurboGrafx games and Genesis games. So the great thing is you can go and you can download. Now, the big problem is there's not a lot of memory in the system. I'm assuming you're going to be able to download those to SD cards as well and re-download them when, you know. I'm assuming those are going to be options, and we won't know until we play with them, until we see them in person. but basically, Wii points. It's micropay, which I got to say is a good idea. You go in and you buy, and here's where this comes in real handy. Because this is something they're doing with Xbox Live, and which I really think is, in the long run, going to be awesome. Because you can buy content. You can buy, you know, new levels. You can buy, you know, they can, it gives you better business models. You can do, and I'm not going to give away my best business model because I'm working on it for a game I'm developing right now. I'm not giving it away, but this is exciting to me because they're making it easy for these business models where you can sell small things and you can sell things for a dollar and take credit card payments. Micropayments are nothing new, but Xbox Live and the Wii are gonna really give you some options there. Until next year, you can also download the Opera browser for free. Starting June of next year, they're gonna charge for the Opera browser. First, because the Opera browser is going to cost. But they said, no, it's going to be free through June. So now you can, as much as I don't want to browse the web on a console anyway, it's not my thing, you can browse the web on your Wii with a specialized Opera browser. And there's just a lot of neat things there. The biggest complaints are the price of the controllers because they're going to be, what is it, the remote is like $40, and the nunchuck is like $20, 40 and 20, I think, are the pricing. So, to get a second controller, it's $60. Yeah, 40 and 20. Now, that's pretty expensive, but when you think about it, you know, and it only ships with one, depending on what games you're playing, the nunchuck is an optional. So you got the $40 controller. But honestly, for what it does, I can completely understand why they have to charge what they do. But you still get one. I mean, you know, people are going, well, here's what it's going to, now, let's look at the real cost. There was a lot of this when it came out. Because it's $250, but now let's look at the real cost. Another controller, and you got to buy an SD card, and you're going to buy another game, and you're talking over $400. Okay? But now let's look at the, you know, people go, so it's more it's as expensive as an Xbox. And I say, Xbox only comes with one controller, no game, you know, it comes with a hard drive, but no memory card, you know. So you've got to buy two games to get to the, you know, to these prices to have two games. To, you know, so really, it's a wash. You know, per controller, you're paying a little more. I gotta say, it's worth it. That's the whole point. And the nice thing is, the controllers are really easy. You know, if you've got friends, when Jeff comes out to visit and we both leave, Jeff's bringing his controller. I don't have to buy one for Jeff. You know, I don't have to have four laying around my house, because I'll have two. You know, one for me and my wife, and eventually for my daughter when she gets older. Like I said, it comes with a game that I'm really excited about. The games originally thought to be region-free. They're not. You know, who freaking who? I'm really excited about it. I'm still waiting for them to... No one started taking pre-orders yet because Nintendo hasn't given anyone the actual quantities they're going to get. Now, they're already shipping. They're already, you know, manufacturing them. They have been for a while. They'll be well ramped up. And like I said, everything I see, the games look good. They don't look as good as the PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360, but they look
more
fun.
But they're not supposed to. Yeah.
Look more fun.
It's about gameplay. It's not about, ooh, we've got so many more, polygons. Woo.
I'm becoming a Nintendo fanboy. It's all because they understand the gameplay is important. Never been a Nintendo fanboy. I mean, I've liked Nintendo. I was always more of a Sega and Atari guy. I love my Lynx. I owned a Game Boy, but I loved my Lynx. I played it till it freaking fell apart. You know what I mean? I'm just like, it's ridiculous. But I'm ridiculously happy about this. So that's coming. That's coming soon. One more quick thing before we get into our individual segments of rank. Color HD DVD, Blu-ray, and regular DVD. Warner has patented, or at least applied for a patent, I think. What did they do? I don't remember. There's a technology where you can make all three formats on one DVD. Now, there's some confusion as to whether it'll just play in any player, or I'm pretty sure it will. I don't think you're going to need special players. I mean, that was the impression I got from the original documents and the original information I saw on it. But I have to say, I'm excited. I think that's, at least a possibility. It might make me buy a player and some movies down the road. Once I have an HDTV, because at this point it does me no good to have one. But I still think HDTV, I just think that it's already got more of a present. And despite what my uncle thinks, he thinks that his impression was they talk more about Blu-ray. Okay, maybe at Best Buy they talk more about Blu-ray, I guess. But there are more HDTV players out there. Can walk into a Walmart and buy an HD DVD player and buy more HD DVDs than you can raise. And that says something to me about who's winning the battle. I saw no Blu-ray players. I actually looked today. I was in there buying my wife something for our anniversary. I forgot. She forgot too, so don't give me any crap. Well, she almost forgot. She remembered at the last minute. She's not, I'm not in the doghouse. So it's all good.
You are in the chinchilla house, though, which is actually a little worse than the doghouse.
Well, because I can't fit in there very well. They fight places they shouldn't. That's wrong, isn't it? Anyway, where were we going with this?
I don't know.
Well, the bottom line is Walmart is a good judge, at least for where things are right now. I mean, they started dropping they started dropping, PSP video from UMDs a while ago, and UMDs have completely tanked now. But, you know, it's like a good place to watch to see what things are doing, because they sell, you know, they sell the stuff that, you know, they're very, very business conscious. They don't just sell, you know, they don't sell the best quality stuff, but they don't just sell stuff people don't want to buy. Generally. You know what I mean?
Most businesses try to avoid.
Dude, not most businesses. Have you watched? Did you work at CompUSA?
I don't admit to anything.
Well, I know you didn't work. I was your supervisor for a time.
I don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, exactly.
I've gone into a CompUSA occasionally, but
hung out in the red shirt, talked to some people about mobile technology.
Yeah, I may have been wearing red, I don't really recall.
2 hour bathroom breaks.
Which should just prove that I clearly wasn't working.
Clearly.
So
let's just say you don't ever want to get sent into the men's room to see where Jeff is. All I'm gonna say.
Okay.
All right. Let's double minute. We're running out of steam here.
Okay. I've got two little topics and then a big surprise topic that I didn't tell Josh about.
What?
First thing is the Windows Mobile Device Center for Vista will be re-released in beta next week. So if you're running one of the pre-release beta build or release candidate builds of Vista, you will be able to sync that up with your Pocket PC next week. The screenshot that I saw looked pretty much like what we saw in beta 2, so I'm not sure what's. From what I understand, that it looks the same, but a lot has changed under the hood. So, kind of looking forward to trying that out. The Trio 750 is now official. It's going to be released by Vodafone in Europe, or maybe just England. And it will almost certainly be picked up by Singular here early next year. It's an interesting switch over the 700 series. The 750 is GSM, obviously, instead of CDMA. The front of it looks pretty much the same. Same key layout, same size screen. Still basically looks like a Trio. Except that it's missing the antenna, it's a bit thinner, and the card slot is on the side instead of on the top, and it's a mini SD instead of a full-size SD. From what I understand, those minor changes, slimming it down a little bit, losing the antenna, make all the difference in the world. People that have seen the 750 in person say that Palm has finally got it right. This is what a Trio should be, and I'm looking forward to seeing one here in the States. I'm so enamored of my HTC Apache that I won't be going back to the Trio's little chiclet keys again. But it looks like it could be pretty strong competition for more consumer oriented Blackberries like the Pearl. Speaking of the BlackBerry Pearl, one of the things that BlackBerry has been known for throughout most of their existence, really, most of the time that RIM has been around, is the ease of use of their keyboard. They've always been known for great text entry. The Pearl, which is their new consumer-oriented BlackBerry. Does away with the scroll wheel and instead has a very small trackball, the Pearl after which the device is named, on the front of it. And it uses the Smart Key keyboard that was pioneered in the BlackBerry 7100 series. Unfortunately, in the interest of getting the trackball right and getting it all, black and shiny and cool looking, RIM seems to have skimped on the keyboard. Reports from early users of the Pearl, people that already have their hands on it, state that the keyboard in this case, instead of having dedicated keys like every BlackBerry since the history of time, instead what we have here is a rubber membrane with the keys, and again, this is a smart key keyboard, so you've got one key for every two letters. It uses predictive text. But you've got the 20 keys that make up the smart key keyboard glued to this rubber membrane. So they, so as you're typing, not only do you get almost no, tactile feedback, but the keys tend to slide around over that rubber, as that rubber membrane gives. It's reportedly a rather unpleasant experience, and I think RIM may end up paying for this in the long run. Okay, those are the little topics. The big topic I want to talk about this week, Mobile Minute, is going to be far more than a minute. Let me. Is streaming.
See, I knew it.
Specifically,
I knew it. When you said you had a surprise pick, I knew you couldn't let it go when we talked earlier today. I knew you couldn't let it go.
Josh and I had a heated discussion earlier today about he's talking about getting his wife a new phone, and he's talking about getting her an MP3 player, and it has to be a high capacity MP3 player because Josh's wife works at the postal for the postal service sorting letters, and it's kind of a tedious job. I mean, it's good work. She's not complaining about it, but they let them listen to music over MP3 players while they're working. But so she needs something that can store all of her music and last a full day shift. And I'm thinking, well, why buy two devices when you can get one? And why worry about, well, I need something that can store, like 30 gig, because I asked, well, if it's just, just something for listening to music during a single shift at work, why not get her an iPod Shuffle? Because the new Shuffle, as much as I'm very anti-Apple at this point, I gotta admit, the new Shuffle is pretty cool. It's a little metal clip.
Yeah.
It's
storage-wise, it wasn't what we wanted.
It's much more of a fashion accessory than else now. It's really not much bigger than a lapel pin. He was talking about how, long story short, my suggestion was to get a phone and then stream all of her music. Because phones already have big batteries. They're already designed for long battery life. They're designed for transmitting and receiving wireless data and outputting sound. And I look at devices like the LG Chocolate and other music phones, and they're all limited by the local storage that they have on them. And I made the point earlier to Josh that local storage on a music phone, is like training wheels on an elephant. You just don't need it. It's barking up the totally wrong tree. If you've got a phone, if you've got an omnipresent, wireless signal, then you should be streaming the data rather than storing it. I've gotten into this quite a bit recently with the new version of Pocket Player for Windows Mobile, which is also available, Josh, for Windows Mobile smartphone devices, like the tiny little T-Mobile SDA and other stuff like that.
I'm not stupid. I'm aware of that, Jeff. Anyway,
Pocket Player has really taken streaming to the extreme. Extreme, get it? Because you can especially with what I love with podcasts, you can now set up you enter in the URLs for the podcast feeds that you like to listen to, and then that's it, you're done. As you're scrolling through your library in Pocket Player, you go down to podcasts, you see a list of all the podcasts you listen to, you go to the you pick one, and you see a list of their most of all the enclosures listed in that feed, and then you hit play, and it just starts playing. I no longer have to download all of these dozen or more megabyte MP3 files and then copy them over to my phone and then delete them when I'm done. And if it weren't for ebooks, I really wouldn't need my my mini SD card at all, because now I'm just streaming everything. With a service like Orb, if you haven't checked it out, it's www.orb.com. With a service like Orb, Bethany could you guys have essentially a server running all the time anyway. You've got a big desktop PC running connected to your cable modem that neither of you use as your primary computer. So she could just have all of her MP3s on there, be running Orb on it, and stream everything to a phone. Rather than, I only have 128 meg on this phone. And without having to carry around a phone and a personal music player. And having to keep both of them charged.
What you didn't hear earlier, the first problem I had with this was, it's not my wife. My wife wouldn't be interested in it. It's not something she'd want to do. And
how do you know? I mean, obviously she's your wife.
Jeff, forget it. I said I didn't want to talk about this. I was done with it earlier because we've come to a complete impasse. You and I disagree. Where we disagree is not that streaming is the eventual technology, is that streaming is the technology that's best for everyone today. That's my disagreement with you. I do not think streaming is the best technology for everyone today.
I don't think it's the best technology for everyone today either.
I don't think it's the best technology for my wife. I don't think it's the best technology for my wife. A, we don't even know whether she can get a signal in her building, and I already said it's doubtful. Okay? I said from the beginning, I doubt children necessarily, but I don't know how good a signal she gets in her building. She can't call from inside her building. Having a phone on, as long as it's, the ringer's not on, isn't a problem. But she's not allowed to call from inside her building anyway, so I don't know how good the quality of the signal would be, so that's an issue. And again, it's not something, she wants. She just wants an MP3 player. She doesn't want to deal with it. It's not her kind of thing. You and I dig technology. She did.
You say deal with it like it means anything. I mean, how is setting up a computer for streaming any different than installing iTunes?
You know what, dude? Forget it. Again, I'm not arguing this. This is not a discussion. This, it's being a discussion when you stop listening to me. You don't seem to understand that this is,
You keep making it out to be this
I'm
telling her,
You're
making this out to be
this.
Like I'm telling her to climb Everest.
No, dude, you're making this out like I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't know what
my wife would want
to do in the long run. Shut up and listen. You don't listen, and you're pissing me off. You know what? It's not something she'd be interested in. She just wants a fucking MP3 player, Jeff. She wants... Streaming is something that has hassles for her in my town. Gee, I'm sorry, you don't know how bad the signals get in my town, do you? Oh, well, that's your problem. You keep talking like I live in Denver. You keep talking like I don't know about streaming. You keep talking like I don't know my life. You keep telling me how simple it is. Well, you come the fuck out here and do it then. Because here's the bottom line. You're wrong about it being right for my situation. This, we come back to this a lot, you and I, with technology. We have a disagreement on what's best and what the best way to do something is. What works best for you doesn't work best for me and my family. I'm tired of explaining it because you disagree. There are differences in setting it up. There would be a lot of tweaking on my end because you know how I am about my computer. I have a lot of signal problems with that server in my house. I'm not going wired to that server. The laptops don't stay on all the time. There are a lot of reasons this isn't the right technology for me. If you want to argue about whether it's right technology for everybody, that's a discussion we can have. But the discussion is over. You haven't listened to me about the problems I have with my server. And I've cleared connection problems, especially during the day. And so therefore, my server isn't an always-on server. And if my wife's music got interrupted during the day, believe me, I would hear about it. It's not, you know what, and this is, the bottom line is, it's not, it doesn't work. Okay? It's not the technology for my family. So, it's great for you, and it's great for some people. But it's not great for my family. And this is why I'm pissed, because you won't listen to that. Are you even still here?
I think we all just listened to that.
Well, you know, we didn't listen today. We had a long conversation. I said, hey, we're not going to agree on this. Did you forget that I have problems with my server? When you decided to ambush me with it? That's the other thing that pisses me off. I had my guesses, but I was hoping you wouldn't make it about me. Make it about the technology. But now that you've decided to make it about me adopting technology, I'm pissed. That's not cool. Don't ambush me with it, and then ambush me by going, well, and here's what, you know, here's what's right for you. Jeff, you don't have to sell me on it. You have no stocks in any of these companies.
I think we've just pretty conclusively shown the pros and cons of streaming. And that'll do it for this week's Mobile Minute.
Okay. I don't even know what I had for Comic Corner. I was going to talk about the Marvel Online, Marvel's new MMO. There were some announcements about it this week. The publisher is going to be Microsoft, known for a while, but the development company hadn't been announced. This week they announced that it's going to be Cryptic Studios, the makers of City of Heroes and City of Villains. Dominant in the superhero MMO market because they're the only ones. So it's really, you know, pretty easy for them to be dominant. But Jeff and I both played City of Heroes, which I think the first MMO Jeff really played.
Yeah, it
I
was.
Hounded him about. I hounded him, and I even, you know, set him up on my second computer before he could really play it and made him. There. I have a long history of getting people addicted to MMOs. It could be really interesting. The other interesting thing here is, not that long ago, Marvel sued over the way their name filters and their costume design works. And they settled that. And they settled that a while ago, but that's been the first question a lot of people ask them. Weren't you guys suing each other not that long ago. In fact, I talked to Boston on Mac and Geek at the time, and basically what they said was, hey, you know, Marvel was protecting their IP, we settled, it's over, this is a perfect game for us to be working on, it's a great opportunity. And then the next question is, what about City of Heroes? You're making another superhero game. What do you think, Jeff? I mean, what do you think about it? What do you think the will or won't be on? I mean, just from a, we don't know any details on it, so you now know as much as I do about the actual game.
We know a few details you haven't covered. And I think that's going to make all the difference between this and City of Heroes. Yeah, it's going to be designed for DirectX 10, right?
DirectX, yes. It is a Vista game.
Yeah, this will only work on the Xbox 360 and PCs running Vista. So I think that gives Cryptic a rather obvious way to differentiate the two games. You know, City of Heroes will be, you know, the lighter game for people that are running on XP. And, you know, for people that want, you know, the full experience, you know, that, you know, really want an immersive, jaw-dropping game with, you know, with all of the Marvel bells and whistles, running on Windows Vista. And did you say that Microsoft was going to be the publisher?
Yeah, Microsoft is the publisher. That's one of the reasons.
That kind of ties into why it requires Vista. This is probably, you know, Microsoft probably has this in mind as one of the first games to really show off what you can do, what gamers get out of Vista that you don't get out of XP as a reason to upgrade. So I think that's where this is going to end up. They're going to keep developing and maintaining City of Heroes for the people that want a lighter weight game. But this is going to be, you know, the deluxe, you know, Marvel intellectual property, DirectX 10, taking full advantage of what Vista can do, and really showing the next generation MMO game experience.
So basically, you're saying it's going to be City of Heroes 2.
I think that's an interesting way of putting it.
A lot of people are thinking of it that way. But something's got me thinking, because I told you what they said, because what they said really got me thinking. They said, why can there only be one superhero MMO? It's a genre, just like fantasy is a genre.
You know, yeah, there are, I mean, DDO so and fantasy. World of Warcraft can coexist.
Yeah, and they're different games. So that's got me excited, because it's going to take what we know Cryptic is really good at, because they've got the best character generation in the business, any MMO, hands down. The character customization and creation system, awesome. It rocks to his house, yo. I mean, I spent hours creating the characters and deleting them and creating characters, deleting them. I never got tired of it. That's awesome. I think that they can do some really neat storyline stuff, because what they're really trying to do, and you and I haven't seen it because we left City Heroes early on, but the more I think about it, the more I look back and say, yeah, we still have our problems with DDO, but if we found a group like we're playing, I mean, with City of Heroes, but if we found a group like we're playing DDO with, I think a lot of those would have gone away.
Yeah.
I think any MMO we play the way we're playing now, we're going to find a way to have fun with. Although I particularly like the setup of DDO, the store and the way the quests work. I mean, it's really fits in with our play style and the way we adventure and how we meet and play, but
we still have and how play. We bumble into things we probably have no business.
Yeah. But and you're still a little more insulated, and you're not doing it in these big open areas. I keep wanting, I bought City of Villains, I bought the Collector's Edition, I had a lot of fun. If I had a group, I could totally play City of Villains, or City of Heroes, or both. It's nice because they're one subscription fee, but the, you know, you don't have to buy both games if you don't want both games. There's some really neat stuff there. But I really think they've got a lot of potential to explore the different things. And the great thing is, they've got licenses to every Marvel character. This is, you know, normally when you talk of license, you know, games get specific characters, even. You know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, they can only use certain characters. They can't use everybody. You know, I mean, they've got pretty wide range. You know, they've given them some real good options on that, right? But it's all the, you know what I mean? And I think that could be really interesting. And what I think now, the coolest potential is tying that storyline into what's going on in comics. Right now, as I'm not a big fan of Civil War,
people aren't going to be able to play Marvel, the actual Marvel characters. I mean, you can't play Wolverine in this game. Wolverine would be an NPC.
I'm assuming. They're real cryptic. Cryptic Studios is real cryptic about all those details. They want you to think maybe you can. I'm sure it won't be. You'll be creating your own characters. You won't be playing them, but you can interact with them. You can partner up with them probably. You can, you know, see the story and see these characters do things and fight alongside these characters, I'm sure. And that's the real excitement, because I don't want to be Spider-Man. I want to hang out with Spider-Man. You know what I mean? I think that's really cool.
Hey, yeah.
If I want to be Spider-Man, there's a million games I can go play. But if I want to live in the Marvel Universe, Marvel in the Mo is the only way to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. And since there's pretty much very little doubt that I'm going to be running Vista by that point anyway, I think it's pretty safe bet. I'm going to be trying out this game.
And so no release dates or anything, but I think there's a lot of potential there, especially for tying into the comics, because during Civil War, imagine the cool things you could do with the Civil War going on. I mean, well, you care about comics, or it'd be interesting to see, you know, Spider-Man and Captain America are throwing down. Okay, there's a couple of fights with them. To be around and see the story structure of the game shift around these things that happen in the comics, I really hope they're working closely with Marvel. I really hope so, and there might be some artists and some writers from Marvel involved in the game.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
So I'm really excited about that. I'm gonna can the other part of comics and comic and game corner. Long discussion that can happen any time. I'll file that away for next week or something, because I could rant about it for hours.
All right.
So now, and you guys have heard me get a little angry, and I apologize for losing my sanity for a moment there, Jeff.
I didn't mean it as an attack for you. I just thought that your particular opportunity / choice would make a good good example to show the pros and the cons.
Well, and I might have been a little more understanding, but while we were doing it, I was walking around dealing with my daughter and my dogs and stuff, because now I'm wireless, so I haven't been sitting on the couch for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know how obvious it was that I've been up and pacing and doing other things, so I was getting a little frustrated, so I apologize. I probably went a little overboard.
No one accuses us of being shrinking violets on this show.
No.
Yeah.
Something terrible happened today. Something horrible. Something that makes me wonder what the hell happened to my country. I'm still in denial. Jeff has already waited, and I still can't believe it happened. The torture bill passed today.
Yeah, the Senate passed the bill 6534, giving the president basically everything he wanted. They say that it prohibits the worst abuses of detainees, like mutilation and rape, but they also get to define what constitutes those. So, yes, rape is prohibited, but taking one of those light sticks and jamming it up some guy's ass could still be okay.
Yeah, it's way too open about what we can do.
Some of the comments
drive
me up the frickin' wall. Senator Mitch McConnell, okay, Republican from Kentucky, says, "We're not conducting a law enforcement operation against a check-writing scam or trying to foil a bank heist. We're at war against extremists who want to kill our citizens." Well, what Mitch probably doesn't understand is that law enforcement is exactly how you stop terrorism. Don't believe me? Ask the British. What this does is it suspends habeas corpus, which, yeah, if you're not a legal scholar, if you don't follow this stuff, habeas corpus is the basis, the foundation of our entire legal system. Yeah, it says that when someone is arrested, they have the right to challenge their arrest and have their day in court. That has been completely taken away. And, and a lot of people say, well, you know, that's okay because these people are terrorists. Or at least we think they're terrorists. That's, you know. I mean,
the think part's the problem.
Senator Christopher Bond, Republican of Missouri, said, "Some want to tie the hands of our terror fighters. They want to take away the tools we use to fight terror, to handcuff us, to hamper us in our fight to protect our families. So what I want you to do is act like Americans, okay? Secret prisons, secret evidence, and indefinite detention without charges are not things Americans do. Torture is not something Americans do. Period. You either believe that or you don't. Okay? We either stand for something in this country or we don't. And the people who say, well, anything goes, the ends justify the means, I'm sorry. I don't agree with you. I'm not. I think there are some lines we do not cross, even against Osama bin Laden. Because to do that means giving up what makes us Americans in the first place. Now, something else I've heard a lot of people say is, well, we don't want to give the terrorists the same rights that we have as American citizens. Oh, really? Let's take a look at that word, rights.
Isn't that what our country's about? I mean, this goes beyond, if
this rings a bell. Maybe this sounds familiar. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Okay? That sounds familiar?
Rights.
It should. It's from the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, not Star Trek?
All men are created equal. Not just American citizens, but everybody. Everybody. Not just citizens, all men. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Okay? These are rights that are endowed by your Creator, God, or whatever the hell you believe in, that nobody should be able to take away for any reason. And just in case you're not sure what those rights are, we have a handy list of them. It's called the Bill of Rights. It's the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. And this bill flatly revokes several of those rights.
Yeah,
This is the most un-American thing I have seen Congress do.
Well, people talk about the war on terror and how we can lose the war on terror. And we said to Jeff earlier today, we already lost the war. We lost the war when we decided to stop going after Osama bin Laden and lay blame on someone else's doorstep. That's when we lost the war.
We lost the war on terror when we gave in to terror and started to act like we're not Americans.
Well, the bottom line is, what we did today was we signed the surrender papers. We've gotten them to let us to take away our rights. We live in fear. Well, a lot of people live in fear. I saw a movie the other day. Inside Man. This actually falls in line. So there's a point here. You haven't seen Inside Man, I think, right, Jeff?
No, I haven't.
Okay, there's a point where there's a guy with a turban. He's one of the hostages in this situation. He gets pushed out, and the police freak out when they see the guy in a turban. And they rip off the turban, and they start, and basically, I mean, they verbally abuse the guy. It's ridiculous. But that's where we live now. This guy was just a bank employee. He had nothing to do with it. They assumed because he was wearing a turban, and he was the guy who was holding people hostage.
Violating the United States Constitution in the name of protecting Americans is the most un-American thing we can do.
No, I'm just saying that the bottom line is, We've already lost this war. As a country.
Yeah, we have.
We've long ago lost this war. This is just the final nail. I mean, that's the point I'm trying to make, is this is the final nail. I mean, we're done.
We're not the America we used to. Look at the debate over immigration. Whatever happened to the little plaque on the Statue of Liberty about give me your huddling masses yearning to breathe free. Now it's, we're closed for business, sorry, try again some other time. We're not Americans anymore. We had the greatest country on earth, and we flushed it away.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. It's just to the point where... So just said the bill passed, I was like, what bill? I try to avoid this kind of news. But in the end, I couldn't believe it. I'm assuming you mean something like, something to do with net neutrality or something. This is my assumption because,
something
dear Lord,
techie.
Who would have thought this bill would pass? Who would have thought this bill would pass? This wasn't even on my radar that would get passed. Okay? And I was like, well, I don't care how scummy our country becomes. Apparently, the Republicans don't care. Because an overwhelming vast majority of Republicans voted for this. About a third of the Democrats.
Yeah. It went pretty much down party lines. Lincoln Chafee was the only Republican to vote for it, and I think there were like a dozen Democrats. Or Lincoln Chafee was the only Republican to vote against it, and I think there were like a dozen Democrats that voted for it. Basically, what happened was Harry Reid's the Senate Minority Leader, he determined that they didn't have the 40 votes they needed filibuster to make. And once they decide, once they figured out they didn't have enough votes to maintain a filibuster, then certain Democrats that are in hotly contested districts, for this November's election, in order to avoid the negative campaign ads from the other side about how they voted for the terrorists, voted for this. Because it wouldn't make any difference.
It's a fucking election stunt, what it is.
But it's... The fact that this passed is just... We may as well just ball up the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and flush them. They don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah. I agree. And I don't know, at this point, I don't know what else there is to say.
We don't normally get political on this show, but...
We've done it in the past. We try to avoid it. I saved it for the end because, you know, if you don't listen to it, you can turn it off. Normally the, you know, the comic corner is the last thing we do. We wrap it up from there. This was something that when Jeff told me earlier, he didn't mention putting it in the show notes. He didn't know it was in the show notes, so I sent him the show notes, but I think he assumed.
I was kind of hoping, actually, that we wouldn't talk about it, because it is so painful.
But
I'm a veteran.
Just continue.
I swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and this bill, this law, that has
honestly
just been passed, directly
see how we couldn't
contradicts the Constitution of the United States.
I think we could not talk, how we could leave this untalked about. I just, you know, it was not my fault we could sit by and let go, especially that happened on the day we ended up recording it.
We've had technical difficulties the past couple days, which is why.
Cool. One of the technical difficulties was I forgot my damn
anniversary.
We won't discuss that, though. A couple of weeks. There's been, that was just, you know, a couple of things have been, you know, busy, difficult, and things are getting better.
Personally, it's been difficult for me to record because I'm sitting here obsessed, with how much this plum pit looks like a puffer fish.
Are you serious? You're disturbed. I think we're done. I think we've gotten some good old-fashioned Max Geek. I think this, in my personal opinion, goes down as one of our classic episodes. Maybe not for a good reason.
At least from the Mobile Minute on, it hasn't been boring.
it's old school Max Geek. We don't do a lot of this. We don't do a lot of this pontificating, like, you know. The arguing we used to do.
We've been far too civilized recently.
Yeah, that's not us. Anyone who knows us knows that's not us. And Jeff called me a dickhead the other night. I laughed, but Jeff called me a dickhead. I muted the mic before I laughed, but...
while we were playing DDO.
Yeah, you know... To them, we bicker. We just try, you know, we try to get some information across and some entertainment across. And us fighting isn't always entertaining. We're not a couple of hot chicks in tight leather outfits. Although,
I could wear a tight leather outfit if you think it would help.
Through the magic of television, we could be. No, I don't think it would help. Thank God,
okay. This
isn't a video cast. Because in my head, well, I'm just going to say I threw up a little, okay?
Yeah. All right. So that's going to do it for this week's Maximum Geek.
Oh, this was Max Geek 69, in case anybody...
69, woo! Okay.
I mean,
we'll see you next week.
Bye.